This fight was over a while ago, man.
I hit hard, man. You saw what I did with just a jab. Imagine if I put a couple of combinations together. So whatever fight that gets me closest to the belt, I'm there.
Rob Font, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
All right. Well, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are joined today by, it's very rare that all three of us are on together. Robbie Fox from Barstool. And, usually you're with me or you're with Matt when one of us is gone. So it's nice that we're all here together. It's got a holiday vibe.
I know. I'm stoked about this. I didn't know that I was going to be here with the both of you guys. I just assumed that one of you guys was maybe out. One of you guys was traveling, but no, yeah, we got a whole holiday party.
Or,
which is nice.
Maybe they're looking to get rid of one of us. They're just seeing how you fit in here, kid.
We're both of us.
So happy to see Robbie. Robbie's a good kid.
We also have Rob Font. And we have Adam Hunter, comedian. He's a friend of mine for a long time. I haven't seen Adam. And he has a special on Fight Pass. And I meant to, it's funny. I don't have Adam's number at this point. And I was like, I want to text him and congratulate him. And then here he is. He's coming on the show today. So
wait, great. You want to congratulate him about what?
He's got a special out on Fight Pass.
On fucking Netflix?
Fight Pass.
Like you?
No, on Fight Pass. On Fight Pass.
What does he have on Fight Pass?
Well, he's roasting. You know, he does a lot of MMA stuff. It's very specific. It's called Throwing Punches. It's very specific to mixed martial arts. And his Twitter is very funny. MMA Roasted.
Oh, yeah. He roasts all the MMA people.
He's got some funny stuff.
He got me before, I'm sure.
Sounds like Matt's got some bad blood, yeah.
Oh, I like Adam.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
But I know he had to get me before. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you. You know what? Why I'm happy that Robbie's.
Why?
Not that I don't love talk. I love talking to you. You know that.
I understand.
How many times you go? You press right to voicemail when I try to call you. But the point is,
I never see
this kid. This kid right here has good taste. Do you know why?
Why?
Do you know what he's watching? Do you know what he's streamed? Do you know what he's all caught up on? And he can't wait to talk to me about it, either now or the end of the show.
I'm hoping it's not that ludicrous Disney Plus show.
Well, I mean, I don't know why you said ludicrous.
Ludicrous.
I'm trying to bring ludicrous back. Move out the way. Listen to me. Listen. Yes. The Mandalorian. I mean, we're going to talk about this, but I mean, hey, listen, Jimmy. Chances are, I don't even think Baby Yoda or Grogu is his name. I don't think Grogu is going to be in next season.
I hope.
Certain Jedi. I'm not doing a spoiler right away in case people will listen in, and maybe I'll say it later on. A certain Jedi took him under his wing. Well, kind of like back in the day, how Master Henzo took me under his wing.
And
trained me.
Exactly. That's what I thought of when I watched the episode.
It's nothing like that. But it's true. It could be like that. What an episode, Robbie, of The Mandalorian.
Amazing. It was like a movie. It was like watching a Star Wars movie on TV. I stayed up till 3 a.m. to watch it. I was delirious. Right? Oh, I was crying by the end of it. Tears were flowing.
You know what I like to watch, and I watch with my family, is reaction. It's on YouTube. It's like reactions. Yes. Reactions? Jimmy.
You like those?
It's harmless. These people, don't call them nerds, but they...
I'm one of these people. That's what's upsetting about it. For Barstool, I got to do the reactions and I got to film myself. Yeah.
Get out of here. I can watch you.
You can watch me, yeah.
Robbie, can I watch you, Robbie Fox, watching? Like, you're going to see your reaction to The Mandalorian or no?
The final 10 minutes of it, yeah.
Where can I watch that?
That's on my Twitter. I'll send you the link.
Send me that because I'm not on Twitter, but I want to see that. Because did you get teary?
Oh yeah, I was crying. I mean, I'm an emotional guy. Look at me. I mean, like, come on.
Well, did you watch it live for real? Like you taped yourself as you watched it for the first time?
Yeah. So something happened that indicated to me, oh my God, shit is about to go down right now.
Yes.
I know people like the reactions. I think it's kind of like I cringe a little bit, but I whip my phone out, I hit record, and I just watched it live.
I'm gonna have to do that. But I don't know if I can live.
I do it for the fights. I mean, people gave me so much shit for the McGregor one. I was losing my mind. I was fixing my hair during it. It was a bad look. It was definitely a bad look. But I'm an emotional guy, you know, sensitive.
Okay.
But it is.
Me too.
They like that. They like real.
Yeah.
They like that. And I'll tell you, the ending of that Mandalorian, when they, what about when they're like, oh, one X-Wing, now we're saved. And the thing, and all of a sudden, you see, and if you thought Jimmy.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, no.
Jimmy's a
Boba Fett in it?
Jimmy's a fuck. Jimmy, there's so much exciting stuff that's going on.
Well, let's see the post-credit scene, Jimmy.
Hopefully Boba Fett's in it.
Listen to me, Jimmy. I mean,
if Lando Calrissian.
All right, let's talk about fights. Let's act like grown-ups. But listen, before the end of the show, we're revisiting this, Robbie.
Just we really will. Quick. And even after the show, you and me will stay on. We'll just stay on for an hour. We'll talk about
it. Dude, are you kidding me? I got nothing to do. guys, what can we say about Stephen Thompson, man? Best striker in the fucking UFC or what?
I mean, he looked incredible. I mean, it was 50-45. I definitely thought it was 50-45 was justified.
But look who he's fighting.
I know.
The guy's a beast. Just like Vicente Luque is a beast. Like, he does. He just... There's something about Wonderboy with his karate style, hands down, a little spring in his step. I love his sidekick. I love that sidekick. I don't give a shit.
I thought of you every time he threw it because you asked him about it. Yeah.
It's just such a great way to keep distance, to stay safe. And his arms are down. Everybody's, his hands are low. He brings them up. He brings them up when he's punching you in your grill.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's 37 years old. You understand?
I
know
he refuses to be a gatekeeper.
Yes. He refuses.
I said he refuses to be a gatekeeper.
He's taking out all the top prospects.
Yeah.
They're throwing it at him, man. I know Pettis caught him with that punch.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of like, hey man, shit happens. And Pettis is looking great too. This was almost a theme of experience.
Right.
Like when you watch the day, when you look at Stephen Thompson, when you look at Anthony Pettis, when you look at Jose Aldo, who looked fucking
amazing.
Looked like the old Jose. He looked
same
great.
Thing there,
He looked like a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really a night. It was a night of the veterans. It was the night of the guys that been around.
Yeah.
And, the experience really, really, really showed, don't you think?
Yeah, Tybura, Pajeda. I mean, it seems like everybody. Right, buddy.
You know, you talk about the Tybura fight.
Greg Hardy.
It's fair to say he never looked better in that first round.
Yeah,
for real. Yeah, right? Terrifying when he was walking him down against the cage. Oh my God,
man! Then he shits the bed.
Like every great supervillain, he's got a weakness. You put him on his back, he's like a turtle. It's great. I love it.
Oh, boy, I would love to work with him, dude. I mean, well, not really. I mean, I'm busy. I got a family and shit. But, I mean, if, he was one of my guys, I'm not, trying to – my point is I'm not trying to recruit people at this stage of the game. Right. But if he was one of my guys, oh, man, the flow drills I'd have him doing, that should become muscle memory.
Someone with that level of experience, you're saying. You would love
I'm talking about on the floor.
Yeah.
It's not about showing this guy an armbar, or it's not about showing this guy a mount escape. It's about put before and after practice, having somebody on top of him, locking their legs underneath their butt, him using his lower body. He when he was in half guard, he could have used a knee shield to come in, and everything from the outside is always easier. I understand. But the way he's moving down there is not, it's not in sync with a guy that's been doing the right thing on the floor. So. That's what I say. So,
yeah.
And that's something you got to get at. You got to be having these flow drills up and down the mat, 10 minutes before class, 10 minutes after. I mean, that shouldn't be the workout. That should just be put in there so it becomes muscle memory. He should not know the wrong way out of mat. Like, in other words, the arm should not be coming up. It should be coming muscle memory. And that only comes with the repetitions,
Who do you want to see? Who do you want to see Thompson fight next? I'd love to see him fight Colby. I mean, he's number five. I don't think have they updated the rankings yet or no? He beat someone below him, so he might not move up in the ratings at all. But the rankings, I would love to see him fight Colby Covington.
That would be great. The nicest guy versus the meanest guy.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah.
Interesting lead up because Colby would talk a lot of shit, but I mean,
it is. Yeah, it's Colby shit talking. Yeah.
But could Colby get a hold of him? I mean, he's very good at Yeah. I mean, look, he's hard to get down, Thompson. He's springy. You know, his brother-in-law's Chris Weidman. You know what I mean? They practice a lot. He has that beast looking to put him down. And, you know,
I would just love to see Colby, like how much volume he throws in his fights against Thompson's weird style. Like, I want to see how they clash on the feet as well. That's a really good fight.
Yeah,
that would be a great fight. But it would almost be like a waste of Colby's like shitty persona, though, because he can't really attack. Yeah. I mean, that's not going to work out for him. Like, you know, I can't even see him attack. What's he going to say? I can't even see him attacking him.
Yeah.
He called out Masvidal after the fight. He wants that rematch.
Yeah. I'd rather see him versus Colby, or I'd rather see Masvidal versus Leon Edwards. Masvidal or versus Colby. I mean, that's like shit, man. There's no stories that have to be written. That shit's already written.
Yeah. It's just, exactly.
It should be both of those. Could be, they used to have like titles, all the events. They don't do that shit now. It could be Unfinished Business.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Shit.
That's I what love those called. Titles. They got to bring those titles back. You could do all of them, Matt.
When do they stop and why?
Pretty early on. I think they just ran out of, cheesy, Unfinished Business. This time it's personal. This time it's personal too.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, you know who I want to see fight, and not a lot of people. And what's unfortunate is not a lot of people like watching this guy fight.
You're going to say Jake Paul?
Ryan Hall.
Not Jake Paul. Ryan Hall. Hey, first of all, Jake Paul's the one that just fought the basketball player.
Yeah.
He wasn't fighting bad, by the way.
No, he wasn't.
But first of all, he knew that was one guy that has some rounds in sparring, and one guy that was just an athlete.
Yeah,
exactly. What was the basketball player's name?
Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson was running into shit. Almost like me in UFC 31, running into like a back fist. He was just running into shit. It's just it wasn't intelligent. And Jake Paul, not to get into that fucking thing, but he was doing feints, and he looked like he knew what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah, he handled himself.
I don't know.
He's been fighting for a few years now.
He has, yeah.
Yeah, him and his brother, they look like they're good athletes, but I don't follow anything else with that.
And Matt, you want to see Ryan Hall? I thought of you too, John. I think it was Chase Hooper who did one of those Ryan Hall like kind of somersaults onto the ground into the leg. Because Chase Hooper, I think, was losing that fight. It looked like he was really being outstruck pretty decisively. Yeah, and he got that third round.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I agree with the commentary too much on that. And I love those guys. I think they were, because he might have been getting outstruck, but he wasn't getting beat up at all.
No. But I didn't think he looked terrible, but he definitely was being, I thought, outstruck.
I don't think any shots of any consequence. Because I remember hearing that. And I saw that fight late because I was there. And I saw it after the fact. And I remember watching it thinking like, oh man, I heard I'm expecting him to almost be getting hammered, almost the way it happened with him and Bruce Leroy. You know, Alex Cassell. Alex Caceres?
Caceres.
I thought it was going to be something like that, and it wasn't. He was in there. He just was, and he landed a couple, and then when he had his moment on the floor, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and he's been training with Ryan Hall as well. He credited Ryan Hall with that.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even know that.
He spent time with Ryan Hall between his last fight and this one.
I like Ryan Hall. I mean, somebody, who was it? I forgot who was saying it. I don't want to throw out the name. But they're like, oh, like they'd rather watch Patroy than watch him fight. Who was Connor's buddy that time? He just controlled them. Artem,
yeah.
Dude, I love that shit. The guy he lets his feet go, and he's going. And then when people try to grapple him, he's just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, Imanari roll to
BJ Penn.
BJ Penn.
That was crazy.
You guys got to remember, it's the martial. It's not just about rock'em sock'em robots. I mean, that guy's got so much skill. And I don't know. I think I'm his biggest fan. I don't think anybody else fucking.
Hey, I'm looking at him now. He hasn't fought since July 13th of 2019. So I guess I'm going to assume
fight him.
Nobody accepts fights on Instagram. He keeps calling out like one by one, all the rankings in his division.
Nobody wants to deal with him.
Nobody wants to fight Ryan Hall because he's a problem. You know what I mean? And he's still hanging out with Fahaz Zahabi, right?
I think so.
We'll get back to him. Let's talk about.
Looks like we have Rob Font connecting.
Rob Font over such an amazing fight.
You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's High Performance Sports Nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's Training Bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Congratulations, bro.
Oh, man, appreciate it. Thank you.
What a phenomenal fight, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Where are you now?
I'm actually at the gym right now, waiting on Calvin.
Oh,
they're about to get a training session in the cage right now.
That's a nice... Is that regulation size? That's nice.
It's a little smaller. I'm not sure exactly. It's a little smaller. But yeah, you got the little bunk beds up there.
Yeah, oh, you got bunk beds up there? Yeah. Is that for afternoon naps or do people like stay there?
Well, no, I just kind of like just post up and relax at the sessions and so you don't have to fucking go home and all that.
That is awesome, man. At my old school, I had this little room like with a cot. So like, I love my naps, you know what I mean? So when I'd get ready for fights, I would sneak in there and like there was a kid's class going on. I think they knew I was in there. And if I wake up early and I have to take a leak, I couldn't get out because I didn't want nobody to see me. That's nothing to do with anything. I saw the bunk beds. I just started going off.
Well, I was kind of surprised the fight ended as fast as it did. You know, but you looked really, really great. I know Moraes, I felt, was going to be very dangerous coming into this because of his last fight. And sometimes a guy coming off a loss is dangerous. Were you kind of surprised or is this what you expected?
You know, this is obviously what we planned. You know, obviously it's fighting Marlon Moraes, you know, expecting up and down crazy fight. I didn't expect him to shoot as fast as he did. But, you know, once I felt him on the ground, I obviously instantly knew I was in there with a high level BJJ guy. So I kind of like took my time to get back up. And once I did, I just let loose.
And I'll tell you, the second you got up, the accuracy with your strikes, and what was it? Was it a jab that knocked him down?
Jab. I believe I hit him with a left hook that kind of hurt him, and then I kind of put him down again with the jab, and then after that, it was the rear uppercut sat him down. And I just from there, I just saw black, and I just went.
Man, you're on fire lately. And after this fight, you know what I like. And I thought about it right away. I'm like, man, that is a great call out. You called out, you're interested in fighting TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah, definitely, man. Why wouldn't I? You know, that's a guy like that, ex-champ. You know, that's a big name. Rattling off, like, if I'm, you know, obviously beating Moraes and going and beating TJ, that'd be huge. You know, you can't deny him a title shot after that.
Man, something's going right.
When is he supposed to come back? Do you know? Oh, sorry, Matt. Do you know when he's scheduled to come back?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
I think it's like mid-January. I believe it's January 21st.
Oh, okay. Oh, January 21st. Okay.
Suspension. Man, talk about a guy that's got some, I don't know, you think of him now and it's almost like, was he a champion? Like, do you consider him a champion? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. Like you said, man, it's like, you know, I mean, I don't want to go, you know, see, it doesn't really matter to me. He has that name right now, but like, it has to be in the back of his mind, you know, like we all know what you did. So it is what it is, but you know, saying like, you know, nothing against him. I just, you know, I need those big names under my resume. And he's right there. You know, everybody else is booked. He's the biggest name. Like, I feel like I'm the guy to you know, welcome him back to the division. And, you know, I guarantee it'll be entertaining.
It'll be interesting to see how he is too, and how, and then people will kind of make a quick judgment of how much that doing that stuff went into his that run he had and how good he was. And if he comes back and he looks as good as he did, you'll say, "All right, you know, he is the fighter everybody thought he was." But if you remember when Jones and Matt, I think you pointed that out, when Jones first came back after a layoff, He had a fight, a very tough fight with Ovince St. Preux, and it went five rounds. And he was expected to really dominate St. Preux, and he won, but it was a much tougher fight. And Matt, I think you raised the thing that that was right after he came back, and that might have had something to do with it. So it'll be interesting to see how TJ is when he his first fight back.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested.
I want to see how he fights with Usada on his ass. You know what I mean?
Jose Aldo called him out as well. It seems like, you know, everyone's gunning for TJ. Rob, would you want to fight Jose Aldo if neither of you get TJ?
I mean, yeah, definitely. I would obviously, you know, TJ probably, I would love to get that one first, but if that's the fight to make, you know, obviously I don't say no to anything. So I'll definitely jump in there with the legend like Jose Aldo.
It's very exciting at your gym right now. But I mean, you got Calvin Kattar fighting soon versus Max Holloway, which is good. That just smells like a fight of a night right there.
Yeah, that's gonna be the fucking fight of the year.
It's gotta be such a good energy in your gym right now.
Yeah, no, we're just building off momentum, just trying to stay focused, keep our head down, and just keep grinding, and you know, let the results speak for itself. But it's a good. It's a good vibe in New England right now.
And are you and Calvin, hitting the course? Are you guys hitting the golf course much or no?
Nah, not yet. Not yet. After this fight, we're definitely going to get somewhere. But it's fucking snowing right now.
Actually. Oh, yeah, shit. What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, I was about to say, where would they be hitting the course?
Oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah. You know what it is? I remember that they liked golf. And I'm not a golfer, man.
Yeah. I guess we could squeeze in some indoor golf somewhere around here, but we got to figure that out. But it happened lately. We got in a couple of rounds not too long ago, but it's definitely not happening right now. It's like a couple feet of snow out there. So
shit.
We'll post it up with some coffee in the gym.
Yeah, man. Rob, besides anything fighting related and besides golf, what are the hobbies you like that's not related to fighting?
You know, I do a little bit of everything, you know, basketball when I get a chance to, a little bit of football, whatever, when I get a chance to, just, you know, try to stay active. You know, golf has been huge, so it's been like so super easy on the body. So that's been kind of my last addiction for the last 3 or 4 years. But you know, I try to get out there, but it's hard, man. It's hard. Like, you know, I still teach.
Yeah,
I do private lessons. I just opened up a studio for private lessons, and so I still do that. And then so it's kind of hard to get kind of just switch it up and do anything else. But that golf is definitely out there.
You find every athlete seems to play golf, whether it's basketball, NFL guy. I'm amazed because it doesn't seem interesting to me. But is it relaxing? Like, do you really does your mind clear?
No. It's the toughest game in the world. It's not relaxing at all. I don't understand who said made that up. That's a lie. You know, it's hard, man. But it's another way to compete without obviously breaking each other's face in and kind of like going at it too hard in the gym. And you know, you get to go out there, compete, you know, hang out with the boys on a nice day and just find another way to kind of win. But yeah, no, it's fun, man. There's a lot goes into it. It's depending on, you know, there's so many courses around that you just get to drive around and skip to it and get on and just, you know, and just get out there and take a break from, you know, the gym.
Are you good?
I'm getting there. I'm not like, the game's so hard. Like, you need to put a lot of reps into this, but I'm getting there.
I would like to see like you and Calvin Kattar on the course. And do you guys wear any kind of funny pants or no?
No,
why, Rob? Because I would like to see you guys, and I'd like to see some like frat boys behind you going, "Hey, let us play through. What the fuck?" And just start some shit with you and Calvin Kattar, and then one of you capture that on your cell phone, because that would be.
Oh my God.
That would be great. Imagine that.
Yeah. You know, it'll be an interesting day on the course for sure.
The massacre on the links.
I got all healthy hobbies, man. All I do is play VR. You know,
I gotta switch it up, man. I guess I gotta try VR. I gotta switch it up, man.
Well, listen, since you brought it up, Rob, if you do want to get into it, Oculus Quest 2 is just
Oculus Quest 2.
Even Jimmy has it. He's playing the plank game by himself in his fucking.
Right. It makes me nauseous. I just like to go to places like and like do things with heights, things I'm afraid of. I don't do shooting games because I suck at them and I get too dizzy. But I just kind of like to go. Hey, you can visit Spain or Portugal. So I just like to go into these immersive videos and photos. Just walk around or float over the city. It's actually pretty cool. But I don't do Matt's like into the I'm not very competitive, so I suck at those games.
Fuck, man. Population. Hey, let's check
it out. Battle Royale. By the way, golf, the thing about golf that's interesting is like it is the one sport where young guys, super athletic guys can compete against old guys, businessmen. Like it's weird everybody how you can have four people from everybody can play and compete on a very equal level, whereas basketball, some 50-year-old accountant could never. Right, but in golf, I mean, he may be better.
You know, it's an interesting game, the way that's set up. And it's a good time, you know, the network, get out there with the buddies and just a little bit of everything, honestly. But it's definitely not relaxed. And whoever's made that up is definitely lying.
Yeah, I've heard that about pool too, though. Shooting pool is relaxing. And I'm like, I suck at pool, so I get very angry.
Yeah.
It's not relaxing. It makes me I'm frustrated.
You gotta be fucking Fats Domino on that shit. Who's it? You don't have to be so fucking.
Fats Domino, he sang Blueberry Hill.
Did he? I thought he was a pool player.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No, that's Chubby Checker.
Fats Domino, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I guess, you know, some guys go on the course and they drinking some beers and they make it relaxing, but you got that competitive spirit, Rob. That's why you're a fucking animal.
We're out there fucking shooting it, talking shit the whole time, just trying to figure out how to really get up there. But I just kind of like Calvin and his brother got me onto it. They brought me out to the course, and then I just wanted to, at first, you know, thought it was supposed to be relaxing, and obviously learned that it was a lie. And then it got to the point I just wanted to compete with the boys. And then once I got out to kind of that level, and I'm like, wait, I just want to, all right, let's keep pushing with this. Started taking a couple private lessons here and there and just kept going with it. But we'll see.
Are you patient?
Yeah.
Are you a patient learner with stuff like that? Because it's such a different thing than mixed martial arts. The little delicate putts and the, like, are you good at that?
It's literally off feel. It's off feel. You basically, you know, you kind of like find one swing and try to like just kind of perfect that swing. And then once you get around the green, you know, it's all feel from there, man. It's just making things up. That's the thing I like the best. You just try new shots, try new clubs, and just make it up as you get closer to the hole. And then obviously once you get on the green, you got to read that line and just put it in. But it's simple, but the hardest thing in the world, if that makes sense.
Shit, man.
When you see somebody scream like "fuck" and angrily throw their club, you understand.
I get it. It's tough, man. It's tough. I haven't done that yet, but I understand. I get it. It's frustrating because you get like it's so hard to put together 18 holes. It's kind of like you might do one, the next one you completely destroy it, and then next one you do decent, and then, or you'll play the same course over and over and know the exact way to play it, and then you mess up every single time. So it's tough.
Shit, man.
Can you watch it?
Yeah. I got to watch a little bit on the flight back from Vegas. Tiger Woods and his son's out there playing right now, and it's pretty cool. And
did you ever watch
the young kids, man? They're like it's crazy how good they are and how much dedication and concentration. Like you can see how concentrated they are into just making a play. And it's crazy to see the young ones doing it.
Did you ever see footage of Tiger when he was a kid? I think it was on Mike Douglas's show. Like his father brought him on and he was like 5 years old. He was like and he was playing, you know, so he's been playing his whole life, you know.
And he was the man back then too. He's still doing his thing.
So you're good at learning something and you're comfortable learning it and like and not being great at it at first until you get really good at it.
Basically, that's how Zach happened with MMA. Just kind of like just keep trying, keep learning, fixing it, and just keep kind of like just constantly tinkering on your skill set and just always, you know, having that patience to get better. You know, then obviously once it comes to, you know, fight night, you just figure it out. Just go out there and just figure it out.
Were you surprised that Marlon wanted to take it right to the floor like that? Because he usually stands and bangs some, and even though he's
a You know what's funny? As I was walking out, right? I'm walking out and I kind of like had a feeling like, I saw his coach, one of his coaches, Wagner Rocha. Like, oh man, this guy's gonna take me down. Like, I mean, I don't know what it was. I was like, I saw his coach as I was walking by, and like, you know, he's a high level BJJ guy. I'm like, he's gonna shoot, but I didn't know when. And showing up the first thing, I'm like, damn, like I called it. Like for some reason, wow. The whole week, I didn't even like. I thought I was gonna stand there. We're gonna start trading, and then the moment I saw his coach, one of his coaches, like, he's gonna shoot, and 10 seconds later, he shot.
What was impressive was the second you got back up, you started just laying into him, where some guys are afraid to get a little gun shy. He's like, oh, he's going to shoot again. Let me just try to time a knee. Let me try to time a sprawl. But you were just on his ass. Like, right? It's like, you got up. You're like, all right.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, listen, obviously he's shooting. Let's kind of like go forward. And just trying to like wear on him. Let's just get in his face and wearing him and see how, like, because you can't do this two more rounds. Like, I figured he wouldn't be able to do it for two more rounds. So, like, just get up and just go at him. And then, even when he was on top, he was like, is he breathing hard right now? I couldn't believe him. Like, he's winning this. I'm like, oh man, just get up. Once I just get up without giving up your back and giving up your neck. I'm like, you're fine. Just get up. I'm like, he was kind of little. I can feel him. Like, get the fuck out of him. Like, all right, just get up and just go straight at him. And then figured, like, yeah, he won't be able to do it for two more rounds. So then just, I caught him. And then once I caught him, I kind of just kept pushing and, got the knockout.
You look like you don't got a mark on you. Doesn't that feel great?
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel great if they're at camp and look at you? You don't look like you got a mark on you.
Not at all. I felt great. It was smooth. I mean, he landed a kick in the first round. And then after that, it was, so I got like a little bruise on my hip. But besides that, it felt great.
Ah, shit, man.
Well, it's nice too, because the way fights, we've been talking about this every week, but there's so many fights are getting switched around and opponents are changing because of COVID or a guy, our coach test positive, that having a fight, we look like Kevin Holland did, five fights in 2020. I mean, you're ready to fight pretty quickly. I mean, you'd probably be ready to turn around in the middle of January, right?
Yeah. So I'm got right back in here. Like, I'm literally back in here. The boys are coming in a little bit. I'm just trying to like stay ready, cause I didn't really take any damage. There's especially now with COVID, you just never know. Like, things can happen, things get shipped around, and if they need a shirt replacement on any of these cars, I'll jump in there.
That's
right. So you've always stayed kind of ready this whole time, just knowing that can happen.
Definitely.
Yeah, but it's smart, man. It's really smart. Well, congratulations. I mean, you look great. Just a devastating win. So I'm sure we'll be seeing you again before, hopefully January, February.
Yeah, figure it out. Definitely. I'm excited, man. Felt great out there. Big win. Just trying to, build up the momentum. Just get back in there as soon as possible.
Yeah, have a good holiday. It's nice. You don't have to stay in shape now as much because no one is fighting for the next 3 weeks. So you don't have to worry that, Christmas Eve, you're going to get called. You can just relax and enjoy the holidays.
Just hang out for a couple, then we're right back in here. We got a big fight with Calvin. Go get that W, yeah. And then we're going to find out what's next.
So great.
All right. We'll talk to you before your next fight, we hope. Okay? Right.
Thank you again, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Rob.
All right, Rob. Congrats. Anytime. Take care, buddy. Congratulations.
What a good guy.
Yeah,
he is a good guy.
Adam Hunter.
Do you know why? Maybe Adam will know. Adam's knows. He probably knows more than I do about the inner workings. We'll ask Adam. Here he is.
Come on. I'm here. Hey, what's up? What's up? How are you guys doing?
What's up, man?
It's funny, man. I don't have your number, but when I saw your Fight Pass, I saw the commercial for your Fight Pass special. I was going to text you and congratulate you, but I realized I didn't have your number, and I'm glad you're on.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate, always a big fan of you, both you guys.
It's funny, too. I was looking at your Twitter, and you had used some really funny shit. Dean Thomas tweeted, what did he write? I'm training again. And you said you just put the Bellator heavyweight division on notice. It was really fucking funny. Really funny.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Hey. We go way back. I mean, me and Jim used to play basketball, 20 years ago? It would be me, you, Patrice O'Neal, Keith Robinson, Colin Quinn at 3 a.m. We, after the Comedy Cellar, I wasn't passed. I would just go watch. And I was the newbie. And you were always really nice to me, which was really nice, because a lot of times, elder or veteran comics aren't that nice to newbies, and you were always really nice. But one of the funniest things ever, we were trying to find a basketball court, and it was all these I don't know. It just looked like it was like a shady situation. And Steve Marshall, who's a funny comic, was like, well, what's going to happen if we get jumped? Are we going to whip out our tape recorders? And you said, press play, they'll run.
That's pretty funny. I didn't know you were, Adam, you seem a lot, I'm not saying a lot younger than Jimmy, because Jimmy looks very young, but I didn't know you
Thank
were
you, Mass.
Jimmy, I didn't know you were in the same circles there. When did you start your comedy? Yep.
I started doing comedy in like 1999. 2000. I remember Jimmy when he was living in at home, like in Staten Island, like the basement of your parents' house or something. And he would go on.
No, I was in Jersey with Jim Florentine. It was like 97 to 2000. I was in Cliffside Park with Jim in a terrible.
He would go to the Comedy Cellar, and no one knew Jim at that point. But he would just murder like I've never seen anybody. It was the angriest person I've ever seen in my life, and just throw bombs. It was just I never saw crowds react to this. It was you're still one of the funniest, but holy shit. I remember it like it was right when Survivor came out, and he said he wanted to give the kangaroo AIDS and have them chase around the people on the island.
Oh no!
Dark. So wait, Adam, are you from East Coast or?
Yeah, I'm from Long Island. Yeah.
You're fucking from Long Island?
Yeah,
I'm from ages ago. Where in Long Island?
I'm from Oceanside.
Dude, come on, man. East Meadow. I mean, wait, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 42, but I grew up with Amando. Mondo Polanco.
Amando's one of my guys, one of my students.
Yeah, one of my belts.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, what a small fucking world. I didn't know that, dude. I believe he was a West Coast guy.
Well, I moved out about like 15 years ago. But yeah, I'm from New York, Long Island. But I got sent away to boarding school in Maine when I was in high school. I didn't actually last.
Why were you in trouble? Were you like a bad kid?
Yeah, I was starting to become really bad. My sister was like the worst. And then I was like following in her footsteps. We both got sent up to a school for like kids that needed to, rechannel their energy.
Is she okay now? Your sister? How's she doing?
Yeah. She's great. Oh. She works as a social worker in Rikers Island.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's a really hard job, but she's doing great. So that was the best. That's where I found wrestling and everything there in high school. But I mean, Norton and Sarah, I mean, both you guys, Long Island guys, New York guys.
Yeah, shit, man. I mean, Oceanside at 42 and I'm 46. We might know a lot of the same people. That's crazy. Yeah.
No, but absolutely.
Boarding school, I mean, that's something I thought the parents always just joked about. I'll send you to boarding. You really got to have the boarding school.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents actually went through with it. They said, I mean, it was the best. I was running away from the house and I was, just trying to fight my parents and just being a total dickhead. It was like almost like in my high school, like in Oceanside, like I never actually made it. I never stepped foot in the high school. I guess I was in eighth grade, but it was like the worst kids got the most celebrated. It was like as all the troublemakers were the popular kids, and I just wanted to be popular. So I did whatever I took to be popular, as opposed to actually, having character and being a nice person. And, I learned all that when I was there. I knew it, but I actually focused on it,
You picked the right profession though. I mean, look, if you want to just be popular, be in stand-up, this is the best place to do it. You can channel all the shitty energy that people have. That's what we do. And we somehow get positive stuff from it. You picked the perfect job.
Actually, yeah. In a lot of ways, yes, absolutely.
Adam, are they doing the MMA awards this year or no?
They are. And every year I pitch a scene with you and Dean Thomas recreating 90s and 80s movies where you're Mel Gibson and he's Danny Glover.
And what happened? They turned it down?
I don't know. I think this year they were going to do it because of COVID. We couldn't travel. But this year we just came out with the Henry Cejudo one that came out yesterday.
Oh, the rap?
Yeah, instead of wet ass pussy, it's cringe ass Henry.
Where can I see that?
It's on Twitter. It's actually blowing up. And even the guys he disses, like Volkanovski, he actually tweeted, I always wanted to be in a rap video. And like Sean O'Malley, he calls O'Malley a hype train. O'Malley liked it too, which was nice. And then I did one with Dominic Cruz and Phil Davis, where we have them as like BTS. as the K-pop band. It was supposed to be Angela Hill too, but her teammate got COVID as I was driving to shoot it. Dominic Cruz was the funniest because I like pitched in the idea. I'm like, look, I wanted to have Ngannou be like one of those K K-pop guys with the wigs. I thought that would be, and have like six of them, but I couldn't get the whole, it was getting lost in translation. Like I had to go through his manager and so I'm like, all right, yeah. Who else? Cause now I got to find someone on the West Coast that I can't really travel. I'm like, who's really grumpy? And I'm like, Dominic Cruz would be the guy. So I call him. I'm like, give me the K-pop pop bandist. He goes, there's 25 reasons I shouldn't do this. But I'm reading a book called Being a Better Person, so okay or something. All right, so he does it. I drive down to San Diego to do it. He goes, I don't get this. I don't find this funny. This sucks. But okay, fine. I'm like, we're off to a great start. But he was actually he actually killed it. It was a lot of fun. It was him and Phil Davis did it.
That's funny that Francis would have been a good choice too. But it's always tough when you got to go through manager and go, no. But I want K-pop. You know, it's a tough sell.
100%. Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, I remember when we did the one with Cormier, all about the cake and chicken. He left going, I don't know what the hell just happened. Like he didn't even read the script. He shows up, and then next thing you know, it gets like 60 million views.
That was great.
With
the DC with the chicken.
Most reusable GIF of all time. Like it's just the best.
Oh, what, you gotta own that shit. You gotta own it. That's why DC don't care. DC can be a little chubby. Yeah. He don't give. He owns it. He doesn't go, oh no, I lost a few. Nah, he dances with the chicken bones and shit. You know?
Yeah, no, it actually started the fight with him and the Black Beast was like, I want to fight him because he was disrespecting Popeye's chicken. And that was because of the video we did.
I saw that. That was hysterical. That's
I'm amazed. It's so hard for me to pitch things. Like I admire your ability just to do that, like to write something and go, no, this will be funny. Let's just do this. And despite the person not understanding it's going to be really funny or not agreeing, that's balls, man. I respect that because I'm such a fucking like, oh, look at it. Like, you know, your ability to do that is
it's hard. I mean, I want to, what were you saying?
No, go ahead.
What were you asking?
I was just going to ask you if you've gotten any blowback, but I think you're kind of
Ferguson. I wanted to have Tony Ferguson this year. You know how they had the guy drinking cranberry juice?
Yeah.
I wanted to have him on the back drinking cranberry juice, but then he like starts doing all these crazy stunts and he's like in outer space and like missiles. And then he's like in like a body cast, but he didn't want to do it. So, I mean, sometimes people are just like, you know, it's hard sometimes when like you're like texting people. And then like you're the one like Uriah Faber, when I had his the song he had talked about, like my chin can twerk, where I had his like butt chin twerking. He was a good sport about it. And then Johnny Hendrix, I had him as the Weekend of I Can't Make the Weight When I Fight You because I'm hungry. but then he kept missing weight. So then they kept playing it. I was just like, oh, he actually missed weight after the song. So that was
man.
When did you know you wanted to be a comedian? And how was it first starting off? Was it brutal? I mean,
first starting, it was absolutely brutal. I mean, I was doing comedy. I took a comedy class or two in New York City, which are like ridiculous. I mean, yeah, it's like, I remember one guy, he had everybody yell like, he's like, I want everyone in the class to yell curses like, fuck you, blah, 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 scream as loud as you can as an exercise. Turned out his girlfriend worked next door, his ex-girlfriend. So we were just like cursing her off for the class, basically, just to be a dick. that was this guy, Tommy Koenig. But at the beginning, it was really brutal. I mean, I was doing comedy in New York, in laundromats, supermarkets, donut shops, just wherever they would have me. I was standing outside in Times Square at a place called Hamburger Harry's, giving out flyers in like the freezing cold. And I had dropped out of Binghamton and I would see like people that I went to school with going to Broadway shows and like the best outfits. And like, how's it going? I'm like, great, come to Hamburger Harry's tonight. I'm doing comedy in the back of a, you know, people would like spit on me. I mean, that was for the first couple of years. I mean, I remember doing a show in the laundromat. It'd be like, and there were good comics. It was like Dimitri Martin was there and like Brody Stevens and Andrew Donnelly. Remember Donnelly in the laundromat taking the dryer and go, let me put this on No Career.
That's funny.
But, how the fuck you end up in a laundromat? I don't even know that's the way to cut your teeth.
Yeah, they did.
In laundromats in New York City, they had like a homeless audience. They're basically homeless people become and people and people washing their clothes. And it was brutal. The first couple of years was brutal. I became a comic because I wrestled in college, and then I got totally burnt out. I was losing weight the wrong way. I was losing 20 pounds a week, and I just got burnt. And I said done. And then I was calling up this like talk these they had these like online talk shows, like campus talk TV shows, closed caption, and they were trying to talk about serious topics, and I would just prank them. Be like, hey, you know, like DeVane, and like what, like DeVane and my dick, and I'd hang up the phone, and everyone would laugh. And then I'm like, you know what, I got to do something with my life. I can't just be like a no, that's kind of what a boarding school taught me, was you have to actually try to achieve something in your life. So I'm like, maybe I'll be a talk show host. So I went down and pretended to be like, learn the equipment. And then I had my show was called D's Nuts. This is 1999, 1998, maybe. I had like five wrestlers that were my panel and a Budweiser model. And I'm like, hey, welcome to my talk show, blah, blah. And then everyone started calling in about me, making fun of me, like, you know, calling me broccoli head because my cauliflower ear, or they were like, are you Vanilla Ice or Corey Haim? Or they were doing the same thing I was doing to the other hosts. And I was like, holy shit. Right. Then this girl came down to defend herself. She's like, you know, you sweat me at the gym. Cause I used to go to the gym and wear like three rubber suits to lose weight. She's like, I see you at the gym all the time on the treadmill. And you, I'm like, what's your name? And she's like, my name is Hannah. So then everyone started calling in about this girl, Hannah. I didn't know who she was. I was just happy that everyone was not talking about me. So then she comes down to defend herself on the air.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck you. This guy's Seth that talked shit about me and needs to get his fat ass at the gym. And then everyone starts making fun of her. And I had a guy writing things at the bottom of the screen. So then she goes back to her dorm. People are throwing water balloons at her. The guy she was talking about came down to defend himself. Next thing you know, they canceled all the TV shows after that. It was like they had disclaimers. And she sued the school for $60 million. She sued me for $20 million. For like negligence. I got sued for $20 million. And it went to the Supreme Court of Brooklyn. My dad was like, you go to school for fucking, you know, 2 months, you come home with a $20 million lawsuit. Like, can't you just go to class like everyone else? And but it was the most fun I ever had in my life. Like, that was actually like, I want to be a talk show host. This was actually, I can't believe you can make a living doing this. So then I was like, well, a comic is the easiest way to become a talk show host. So I became a comic. But yeah, the first, it's always been brutal.
Is that still the goal?
So yeah, Adam, you got sued, and now you said it made it to the Brooklyn Supreme Court. So did it make it past like a motion to dismiss? Like, did you guys file like a motion? Like, it made it past the first round?
I was covered by the school insurance. So I don't know exactly. I knew that it got thrown out. It got thrown out by the Supreme Court of Brooklyn. They threw it out. Okay.
Maybe, yeah.
But I got sued for like negligence. The kid Seth got sued. She was, I mean, she probably might've actually got a settlement if she hadn't went for $60 million. You know, like if she...
That's a tough one. Yeah. So,
what the fuck, man? I got sued less than I took a dude's ear off. I'm not even fucking bullshitting you, man. I'm not going to bring that up. But I'm just saying, I defended myself, but I'm just saying, I got sued less than that. What the fuck? $60 million.
Yeah.
Fuck. Easy.
I got sued by a lawyer? By a lawyer. He was a woman's rights lawyer. And he recently shot some judge's son and then shot himself.
Jimmy.
Wow.
You heard that? Yeah, that guy was a maniac.
That guy.
Yeah, that's
what
I got sued by. He sued me. I was tangled up with him for 8 or 9 months.
Yikes.
Yeah, back in 2008.
Yikes, Jimmy.
Yeah. Lawsuits are the worst. They're fucking crazy. He wrote about me in his manifesto. He has this long manifesto. I was one of the things he mentioned. Yeah, he's kind of
Adam, do you still want to be a talk show host or no? Is that just
At the time. I mean, I love being a comic is the best. You know, I created a TV show called Pinned, where I'm like a wrestling coach who's a comic, and I crowdsourced the pilot and like the pilot's out now. You can watch it on YouTube. I'm trying to sell that.
What is it? What's it called?
It's called Pinned.
Pinned.
Eve Edwards Pinned? In it. Yeah, Pinned. It's about like a struggling comedian who becomes a wrestling coach. Because I do coach. I've been coaching for 13 years.
Wrestling?
Yeah, I coach wrestling out in California.
You teach kids, right? I saw footage of you showing a kid, and I was like, wow, Adam really knows what he's doing. I mean, he was a kid, but it was still like you could see that the technique was like foolproof. Like if you do this, someone is going down. Like it looked like a great thing to learn.
Adam, did you do it all or no?
I started and then I tore my ACL because I got that dumb wrestling mentality of like, oh, I could tough it out this thing. And then I got put in like an electric chair and a kid tore my ACL. And then I've been hesitant to come back. I mean, after COVID, I'm going to go back. I had to get surgery. I got construction. I got the whole thing. So,
I see where you're going with that. Yeah. I tell people like when you were in a lockdown, caught in a, and yeah, I tell guys, be stubborn on top. Don't accept getting over. But if somebody's got you in a fucking lockdown with that knee, yeah, cut your losses, go on bottom. Because that's a problem. You know what I mean?
What's an electric chair? Is that?
They lock down you're in half guard and they use their legs to lock down your one leg. If they lock it up tight and then they go under your far leg and they almost force you to do almost like a split. And if you get stubborn and don't accept it, you could exactly what happened there with Adam.
Right.
So it's a nasty one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Adam, do you guys still, and Jimmy, this might as well, this goes for you as well. With the stand-up comedy, which I respect so much because I'm such a silly man. Do you still get like the adrenaline going at all? Or like when you get some good laughs, you get off with the, like endorphins running? Because I did it the one time and you were there, Adam. Myself with Dean Thomas. And look, man. I'm no fucking comic. I'm one and done with that shit. But oh my God, I've done crazy shit on Dana White looking for a fight. That was the closest thing one of the closest things I felt. I wrote a fucking bowl. I with the adrenaline, like when I got off, I was like, oh, I was pumped. I was fucking pumped.
Wow.
I was hugging Brian Kalen. I was fucking, you know that? Listen, again, it was a UFC crowd. They were kind to me, but do you guys still get that or no?
Yeah, I mean, the best is when you look down and you see people crying. You see people like with tears in their eyes, laughing, and you're just like, I can't believe I get to do this for a living. You know, it's or you just get that big laugh. You know, that big. You're like, it's such a shoots through you. I mean, it's the best. Yeah. But as good as that feels, sometimes it feels just as bad when like nobody laughs. It's not really a one-way street. It's just sort of like, you're like, oh my God, as good as that feels, you're just like, but that's the thing about like comedy. And I'm sure fighting is like, sometimes like even when I wrestled in high school, like, okay, this kid's stronger than me. He's better on top. He's better, more muscular. I got to figure out what's the one weakness I can do. It's the low single that worked every time. And sometimes with the audience, it's kind of the same way where you're up there. You're like, okay, they're not laughing at my jokes, maybe the crowd work is what I got to do to bring them back into the jokes. It's sort of like just figuring out that puzzle of how to make, like, I think Rich Voss said it, like a good comic is like a good point guard where you can't have one move. You know, you have to have different, you can't just play one way. They're going to figure you out.
The worst is when crowd work is killing and then you go back into material and it fucking shits the bed again. You're like, I thought I had them and I don't. But yeah, it never gets old. It's like the 500th blowjob you get is just as great as the first blowjob you get. That's how it is. Like, you know what I mean? It's always you never get so used to it that you don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great analogy. Adam, I've been a fan of yours for a while just through Twitter. And as someone that works for Barstool and has to create comedy through MMA, I wanted to know, how do you find the balance of being like sort of respectful because there are bigger stakes than any other sport here, but also like pushing the boundaries and also joking about everyone?
Well, it's funny. Like when I first got the job, like I actually worked for the UFC for a while. People don't know this, but like what happened was like, I wrote a bunch of those sketches and I met with Dana, and Dana's like, hey, I want to do these like Tosh.0 videos where you make videos about the upcoming UFC events. So I make like 3-minute videos and I did that for 3-4 years, but all these jokes that I didn't have were just wasted. And I'm sure Jim knows, like, a lot of times, like you hate wasting jokes, especially if they're jokes you can't do on stage. Like, and with MMA stuff, it's like, all right, I can do a Chris Weidman joke. Most people don't know who Chris Weidman is. I mean, I know who he is, but most people in an average comedy club don't know who he is. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll do this Twitter feed for people that like that way for the fans. And that blew up. But to answer your question, I don't make fun of people. And actually Matt Serra blocked me one time. So I convinced you to unblock me. Yeah, on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter no more. It must have been ages ago.
It was, but at the Laugh Factory, I'm like, hey, will you please unblock me? And then you gave me a huge hug. You're like, what the fuck did I block you for? But
I wasn't good with Twitter. I'm not good with people. Like, and I don't know what you said, Ernie. I'm sure it was a hype joke, but I don't know if it was a fat joke. It could be either or both. But I could take a joke, but I didn't like the Twitter. I thought there was too many like rude people. And
there it is. It is very toxic. You almost have to just tweet and then walk away. And not look at the responses, but I don't make fun of people when they lose, you know, unless you lose in a way where it's like a Bob Sapp type of way, where it's like you just tap to like a single leg, like, okay, I'm gonna kind of make a joke about that, but I don't make fun of people if they get knocked out. I'll never like retweet anyone lying down, you know, and I know that like, you know, there are no rules to comedy. They're just my rules. I'm not saying these are other people's rules. It's just my rules.
Yeah.
Because the people that have gotten mad at me have been like, if they lost. In the very beginning, I was like, oh, fucking anything goes. And then I was like, oh shit, you know, like this is not really what I'm trying to do. You know, I don't. So it is a fine line, especially if I know the person. Like, and a lot of times, like if I make a joke about the person, I'll text them first. Like, I'll be like, hey, Tyron, is it okay if I make a joke saying that? Like, you're rapping so bad it gave me cauliflower ear, you know? And then like, and Tyron will be like, all right, go ahead. You know? So a lot of times I'll clear it with the person beforehand. You know, it's hard if it's like John Jones is someone who like blocked me on every media, you know? Me too. And I'm a John Jones fan, you know, but when you leave the scene of an accident, or, you know, you get positive for cocaine or for picogram, and then they move the whole event to a state where it's legal. It's like, how do I not make a joke about that? I kind of wouldn't be doing my job as a comic if I just ignored that, you know? And it's hard sometimes because I'm sure as Jim knows, when I did that, that joke about, like, for example, with Henry Cejudo's new album, I'm like, oh, he's got more bars than a War Machine, right? Now, I know that people are going to be like, oh, you're making a War Machine joke, and War Machine beat up his girlfriend, and you know, like they're going to take it to that. Like, but the joke is he's in jail, and and there are bars there, so I have to like be prepared for the blowback of idiots. So it's sort of like finding that kind of finding that lane.
Can't stand them
and making fun of people like. Part of it is like you're a comedian. It's like John, like, you know, if John Jones liked somebody, but he had to fight them, he would do his job and he would still drive his knee into their chin or try to knock them out, even if he liked them, because that's his job. So it's kind of what being a comic is like you're making fun of things because it's what you do. Like, it doesn't mean you don't like the guy or respect him. Have you ever met him face to face and told him like, look, dude, I love you?
I met him before he was famous, like right after the Stephen Bonner fight. And the guy couldn't have been nicer. He was a really, really nice guy. I've had some fighters get mad at me for not roasting him. I remember I had Kevin Randleman on my show, and he was like angry. He's like, I thought I was going to get roasted, not toasted. And then he kept DMing me and be like, when are you going to make a joke about me? Blah, blah, blah. So finally I was like, all right, whoever makes the best Randleman joke, like I gave away something and I made a couple jokes. And within like 5 minutes, he calls me up and he's like, tap, tap. He tapped over the phone. and then we became like friends for life, you know. Same with Danny Castillo, got upset when I made a joke about him. And now he's been to like 6 shows. So a lot of guys, it's like, I think they learn that like, you just got to, a lot of his timing, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you're having fun with them. You're not trying to humiliate them. Like if a fighter knows that you respect him, like there's a difference between shitting on somebody because you think they're a clown or an asshole, or a guy who you really love, who you're just making fun of a part of their.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you shit on yourself too. Like, you know, I'm sure you're very unkind to yourself. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the best guys are like Dylan Danis, because I feel like he kind of gets it. You know, like, so if I make a Dylan Danis is like my wife told me to send me her dick pic because I don't want a Dylan Danis, right? Like he'll like fucking be like, oh, I'm a dick. I get it. You know, Ben Askren was the best as far as being made fun of. I mean, he just was like, he didn't give it. He was like a good friend of mine. He just did not care. So, but a lot of people, the problem is that people see this and they think saying, hey, you suck, LOL. Is the same as making a joke.
Yeah.
It's like, no, just putting LOL after constant. It's not an actual joke.
That's the one thing. It's got to be witty. Like when people will be like, hey, fat Sarah, not Matt Sarah. It's like, oh, fucking A. Wow.
I like that one.
I'm going to delete that from my drafts.
Yeah, no, right now, I mean, this is about you. Like, I would say things like, I can hear Matt Sarah yelling and my TV's not even on.
That's good. You know? I got to like.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, dude, you're a great coach though, too. That's like, I think you and Longo are like, I mean, look at who you guys have like produced, you know, between Weidman and Aljamain, and like these other guys out there. I mean, it's like legitimate, like studs.
Aljo better be fighting for that belt soon. I don't know what the hell's going on. Awesome.
Yeah. It's so funny about Aljo. So this kid hits me up, Roman Bravo, who's like one of the best wrestlers in college right now. So he hits me up last week and he's like, hey man, I want to start trolling people. What should I do? And he's like, he's a wrestler for Penn State. He's like third in the country. So I was like, well, who do you want to call out? And he's like, no, I just want to be funny. So I go, all right, here, tweet this. I go, most wrestlers out there, most MMA guys right now couldn't pin a tweet. I will beat anybody in wrestling. And the charity goes to Jake Paul, teach him how to fight. Right. So he puts that fucking Aljamain response. I'll wrestle you. Now they're wrestling at Penn State tomorrow on like TV. Like,
oh, that's fun. But I think they're also doing a submission match too, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, Aljo likes to just stay. That was funny. Aljo's phenomenal, man. I believe he's the next champ. I can't wait.
Me too.
He actually took time from his vacation out in LA and helped coach my middle school team.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. People don't know this about Funk Master. He gives back. Hey, Adam, I see behind you that nice family album. You have the picture. You have one kid or how many kids?
Yeah, I got a baby daughter. Actually, a week from my kid was born, I think about you all the time because it was you and Dana White and Dean Thomas called me to help you with the songs for the country songs, right? You guys were singing at some blues bar.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna have a kid. I'm having a daughter. And at the time, I wanted to have a boy. I'm not gonna lie, but like a boy. I'm like, having a daughter. I was excited, but you're like, dude, having a daughter is the best. Yeah. You have no fucking idea. Yeah. You're gonna love it. And you were right. I mean,
it's weird, isn't it? Like, I wanted a boy. I thought I wanted a boy too. I don't want a fucking boy. You got a boy, you got to raise a man. That's a fucking job. You got a kid, you got a girl. You got to just give them a lot of love. Make sure they don't end up on the fucking pole. You just got to make sure they're there. You got to give them that love. Make sure they got no daddy issues, man.
It's true.
Right.
Right. It's true.
Well, that's good. Do you feel like it changed your comedy at all, becoming a father, or no?
I have a lot more kid jokes. I mean,
hey, Adam, I heard once, this was you, some girl said something like, that's a dad joke. And listen, you're like, well, I'm a dad. You know, I don't want to ruin it. And then you're like, if I was doing horror jokes, what'd you say?
I go, I'm a dad. I'll do a horror joke for you.
Yes. That's so,
right. Yeah, no, I mean, having a kid. Yeah, it is. It's 1000% changed me. I mean, and also, like, I don't give a fuck about what people say anymore because I have my kid in some way. Like that's really the only person I really care. I mean, my wife and my kid. I mean, other people, a couple friends and that. But it's like she thinks like I'm the best. She's only two, so she hasn't learned I'm not yet. But she looks at me like, you know, that it's the greatest. It really is the greatest.
How long are you married? I didn't know you were married.
Married 4 years.
Good for you.
Being married is the best. It's the greatest. So
you enjoy it. Yeah. I've never even been close, dude. Like I've never been close. I've had like a few long terms, but I guess, I don't know. I just can't.
You're alone.
You know, maybe I'm just not married. Oh yeah. God, I don't know.
Rebel. I know. Jimmy just wants to be alone.
No, it's not that. It's just, I don't think anybody really, people get sick of me quickly. Jimmy. Like when they realize this really is all there is.
Don't talk
I think
like
they're
that.
Just done.
You always have really pretty girlfriends though. Like you always have like exceptionally hot girlfriends.
Yeah, I've done okay. I mean, I've done better than my physical appearance would dictate, but that's, you know, that's just being a comic. I mean, that's basically from that. Maybe someday, who knows?
You will.
Maybe
you'll someday. Find someone, Jimmy. You will.
I still laugh at that joke when you talked about like how you were in a cab and the guy said, take me, you said to the cab driver, take me to like 15th, like fifth and fifth and 30th. And he's like 15th and 30th. You're like, yeah, the Hudson River. I'm Aquaman. Can't you tell?
That's right.
And then you tell the whole crowd that you didn't really say that, that you just actually said fifth. But when you went home, you wrote it like you have to let everyone know that you actually didn't say that. It was even funnier too.
Yeah. I probably felt, I felt like I was lying. I'm like, I just don't feel good about this. If I'm being dishonest. Adam, where can people see your special? I think our show is finished. It's on Fight Pass, but when and what time?
I believe it's coming out the 28th, 29th on Fight Pass. Really, really excited about it. It was awesome. Mike Perry's in the front row. And his pregnant girlfriend. And I was nervous because first they said, like, okay, the crowd's going to have Travis Brown. I'm like, that guy blocked me. Great. Mike Perry. Because I made a joke about, he said that him and Rhonda like anal sex. I'm like, well, now he can't sit for 2 weeks. Like, it's like a simple joke. Him, and then.
He said that, though? He said they like anal sex?
Yeah, they had some weird tweets about, like, no tacos today. It was strange.
Oh, no, come on. Worlds are colliding.
I'm sorry. I'm saying it was strange.
Awesome. I'd love to hear about that. I would love to hear about that in great detail.
Jimmy's doing that anal. He makes sure they're going to Taco Bell first.
No tacos today.
That's really what the tweet said. It was crazy.
It was, right?
Yeah.
They said, like, they tell everyone they have anal sex that we can't make jokes about this. Like,
I want to see those tweets. I'm not going to whack off to him or nothing. I'm going to But you know.
So Mike Perry, though, was actually, I was nervous because he was like literally 3 feet from the stage. And this dude is like, got kicked out of the UFC almost for being too violent. I mean, this is the guy fucking, and he was the best sport. Like, I made jokes about it. I'm like, oh, your girlfriend's here. I remember you from 16 and pregnant. I just kept going on. And he was like, he was dying. Like, he was the coolest. I understand. Yeah. And you know what? He actually did raffle off his cornerman for that fight.
Oh, yeah.
He actually did.
He got through with it, yeah.
He's fucking hysterical, man.
He really is.
He's enjoyable, man. He looks like a Spartan, and he's got those tattoos on his face. And it's not like a nice, calm-looking tattoo. Like, it's kind of some shit on above his... He gets something on his eye, and it's, you know... That guy looks serious.
He's kind of like a throwback. Isn't he kind of throwback to like kind of the Tank Abbott days in some ways? Like, he's sort of
throwback to the fucking 300 days. Put that guy in one of those short things with the cape and the fucking shield. Yeah, I like him though. I like that, Perry. Well, that's what I like about this sport. Just not only the athletes, just the characters. And it's so many new guys. I mean, I can't get over that Kevin Holland. That guy's one of my favorite guys now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Did you ever fight a guy that talks shit to you during the fight like that?
No. Oh, no. Now, one time, Carol Parisian, like, he flipped off Longo. He thought it was Henzo. And, like, he's like, ah, he's getting tired. He flipped him off. And I remember, and I was actually getting tired. So he flipped him off. I go, oh, fuck, this guy's not getting tired. The opposite, Longo, shut the fuck up. You're giving this guy fuel. But anyway, you know. it's shit that happens in the octagon is really funny because it's very, like, it's, like, in 3D when it's happening. It's, like, it's weird when it's happening. I had Ivan Medjavar's back, and he's a little El Salvadorian Canadian guy, and he was hitting me in my face like this. And every time he hit me, he goes, sorry. I'm getting hit. I don't know. Am I supposed to say it's okay? I don't know. Fuck up. Trying to open me. I had no neck. Whatever. But hey, man, when is your special coming out again?
The 28th. I believe the 28th on Fight Pass. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to watch. And if I was on Twitter, if I was on, I'd unblock you, but I'm not on that shit. But I'm following you on Instagram.
Yeah.
At least I'm gonna.
And the promo is good for it, dude. The jokes are good. It looks like it moves really well. And I'm glad I got to congratulate you because I wasn't able to text you, but I'm happy for you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Robbie. I'm a big fan of you as well.
Yeah, and congratulations on the special.
And Adam, please do not give up on that bit with me and Dean Thomas.
I think it'd be hilarious.
We want to do it.
Yeah. No, I could show you how I pitched it. It was like my first one. I was like, you got to do this. And I think it was just a matter of this time. It was just COVID. It was because he couldn't fly anybody anywhere.
Well, sooner or later, and we'll make that happen.
Yeah. The Henry one's doing pretty well, though. You got to see the Henry Cejudo, cringe ass Henry.
Send it to me. It's on Instagram too, or no?
Yeah, yeah. It's on his Instagram. He's a good dude. He's a very misunderstood guy. Like, he's actually like a really, really nice, like humble person.
He plays
really
up.
Funny.
He plays up the cringe thing. He plays that up. It's an act. Like,
yeah, you know? Yeah. I think he doesn't. He just kind of gave up on trying to be liked. He's like, fuck it, I'm cringy.
He gave up on that when he was challenging Valentina. Yeah, fucking great, man. Adam, thanks, dude, for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Thanks,
good talking to you, buddy. Congratulations, man. All right. Talk to you soon, man. Take care, Adam. Yeah, thank you to Adam. And I guess, we have to end the show. I mean, this was nice.
We're not on Wednesday.
It's nice because there's no fights.
It's nice. Really, did we talk about, Stephen Thompson. We talked about Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
We talked about, who's the third guy?
Rob Font. Do we talk about Michelle Pajeda against Chaos Williams? I had Chaos. You had Pajeda. You were right. He looked great, man. He looked really fucking great.
Something in there? I thought Chaos should have got that fucking fight. I thought Chaos had the first two rounds, to be honest with you. Michael got the last one. This is the thing. It was close. I liked his counter punches.
Yeah.
He's got such athleticism, and he's constantly moving. How about we do some more? How about we throw some more fucking kicks? Well, I mean, I like the dance moves. I could look at that shit and try to mimic it and have fun with it. I like a good capoeira fucking thing they do. But if you're being that active, why not be more active on your opponent? Like, what the fuck are we doing here dancing around? Like, I get it. You're not getting tired. Why don't you do that and do more of those fucking front kicks that are looking fucking brutal?
Yeah.
You have the juice. Keep throwing that shit. I don't know. I get a little frustrated because the guy's got, and then when he's throwing his straight punches, they're landing.
Yeah.
He's doing too much of I don't mind the wacky shit now because I know he can fight. But do more of the fighting. I mean, I don't know. It bothers me.
And by the way, we were both wrong about Chito Vera. I think we both took Vera over Jose. I was happy for Aldo, though, man. I love when a veteran like that looks as great as he looked. And he looked really, really good.
And the game plan was, because sometimes Chito got in there and he got the double underhooks and other guys he probably would have put down. Listen, man, Jose Aldo. I mean, he fought Chad Mendez, and he's one of the hardest guys to get down. That's why I think he gave Frankie Edgar so much trouble. And Frankie never beat him because Frankie could have mixed it up with the striking to the takedowns. But Jose, all those takedown defense is just uncanny, man. So, I mean, you know, I think that maybe the game planning was a little off, or he didn't know until he felt it. But Jose looked like, he just looked physically like a beast. And I'll tell you, I like seeing him use a jiu-jitsu. I'm not used to him going for takedowns. That body triangle at the end, I like Chito a lot, but it's your job to get out of there. You know that. And he knows that. You can't just look at the fucking thing and be like, you know, what the fuck is? All right, he's holding me. Well, he's got your back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
it's almost like somebody's mounted and you're like, come on. Hey, you know, you got to get out of there, dude.
And they said a ref won't pull you. If you have somebody's back, they're not going to pull. They're not going to separate you. You got somebody's back.
Do it, man. It's your job to get out of there. Chito's a young guy. Yeah, he's a smart guy. He's with Jason Perullo and the crew, Oyama. They're going to learn. And I'd like to see him fight again soon. I like that. I saw Sugar Sean O'Malley put something on there like about Chito, like, oh, maybe we can run that back or something somewhere. So I like that. Yeah. I like that by Sugar, because that's more of the attitude to have than saying, oh, I never fought him. I was defeated this year. That was a weird rat. There was a weird route he was going with that.
I think he still is sort of going with that. He was making jokes like, oh, Chito, like, I thought Chito could just kick someone in their nerve and he could win fights. And he was saying, like, I'm still undefeated. He wasn't completely like, we're good, Chito.
Yeah, he was very badly hurt, but it doesn't matter. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, look, John Jones against Chael Sonnen never would have made the second round. He would not have walked out. Chael would have been the light heavyweight champion if Jones. I mean, I think he. I want to say it was with a minute and a half left, so it wasn't like it was with two seconds left. But broke his fucking toe. He never would have been able to walk out for that second round.
Chael's doing okay for himself now, because that guy could be on a bridge. Because you think about him with fucking Anderson
with
Silva.
Anderson, oh my God.
Silva, sure.
He could have been fucking champion a couple times, but listen.
Twice, yeah. He could have been a middleweight and light heavyweight champion. Attitude,
you know?
Yeah.
Before we let everybody go, before you plug your Chip Chipperson stuff, Bobby Fox, for the people that don't know, now they know. They got to watch this Mandalorian because,
oh my God.
If you're an old school Star Wars fan, or if you're not even into Star Wars, you might just, this is totally something different. Such a good story, such good action. There's the Mandalorians, there's some Jedis, Dark Troopers. Ooh, it is so much fun. Jimmy, give it a shot.
Give it a shot. Yeah. All generations, Jimmy, they're all bonded over this.
I don't want to pay for Disney.
Come
Plus.
On, Jimmy.
I'd buy it. Dude, I would buy it on iTunes. I'd buy it as a movie or as a series. Like, I don't mind paying for that. But I just don't like Disney. They annoy me. And all these streaming services fucking are annoying me. Oh, this one's got this service. That one's got that. It used to just be on cable. And you could just kind of go grab it. Now it's like, get this app, get that app. Man. Who's got Friends? HBO Max. Is it NBC? It's a fucking nightmare. But yeah, maybe I will watch it, dude. Everybody says it's great. And I love Bill Burr's
episode
so much,
this
so
season. Maybe I'll watch some it. Some of the best acting he's ever done.
I know. Bill is great. So no, I'll support it.
Yeah, serious stuff.
Philosophical.
Yeah.
That's your buddy, Bill Burr. And you know, some movies don't hold up as kids. So I like watching this with my family because I tried to go back and watch the Neverending Story with my kids. And I realized that it was just shit. It was just it was a hot plate of shit. That Neverending Story. Anyway, Jimmy, what do you want to plug?
Nice. Well, once we're done here, don't disconnect. I have to do a quick ad read. But I want to plug the Chip Chipperson cameo, cameo.com/Chip Chipperson cameo. I'm not on the app. So if you want a fucking cameo, stop telling me to go on the app. Just go to cameo.com/Chip Chipperson or Jim Norton. I'm on both, but Chip is much more popular than I am. So feel free.
Robbie, that's Fox, what do you want to promote?
I've got a podcast called My Mom's Basement. You guys have both been on it before. We talk about MMA. We talk about wrestling. We talk about nerdy stuff. We do Mandalorian recaps every episode. And next Monday, we will have a Mandalorian award show where we're going to give out awards for like, hey, who is the MVP of the season? What was the best moment of the season? Stuff like that.
Who's going to be on that one?
Okay.
Who do you got on there as guests?
A bunch of people from Barstool. We have like all of the Mandalorian fans from Barstool HQ coming on that one. I would love to get you a handout and award if you would like as well, Matt.
Let's talk about this off air because I think I'm in.
Okay.
I like Jimmy knows I like that stuff. And he loves can't really goof on me because I could Kimura most people.
Hell yeah. You could be like my bodyguard when people try to goof on me. That would be a great video series.
Me and Jimmy would try to pitch a reboot for that. But before your time.
That's right.
But hey, guys, listen, I got nothing to say. Matt, Sarah.
This is the wrap it up bell.
Did you play that out just for me, Jimmy?
No. I've had, somebody I know does cameos with this bell and a Santa hat.
I'm on Cameo. Crazy. I've been doing I've been wishing Merry Christmases to people.
Nice.
And I go above and beyond. You don't got to put me in an arm lock to sing. You don't got to have me like Oliveira had Tony Ferguson. I'll fucking sing. Guys, I had fun. I hope you did. Have a Merry Merry if I don't talk to you guys.
Matt, have a great one. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Merry Christmas, guys.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah, Robbie, always great seeing you, buddy. Have a great holiday. I'm sure we'll see you in a couple weeks.